As we get started with the message this morning, man, what a great message this will be this morning. I say that every Sunday. Man, what a great message this is going to be. You know, let me just say this before we ever even get started out of the scriptures. But if you have your Bible, let me just say this. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you don't have one, there's pew Bibles that you can get or pick up and turn into the book of Genesis chapter 18. And I'm going to read some scriptures out of Genesis 18 here in just a minute. But let me just say this while you're turning. You know, I mentioned just a few minutes ago that there's nothing that the Lord... Yes, I'm sorry, Amber. There is nothing that the Lord can't do. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? There's nothing too wonderful that the Lord cannot do. I am a firm believer, and I hope that you are too. I'd like to say welcome to you on Facebook this morning. And let me repeat what I just said. I don't believe that there's nothing too wonderful that the Lord can't do for us this morning. God is good. And He is wonderful. And I, like I always preach just about every Sunday, preach about God's love a lot. I tell people about the love of God a lot. But you know, sometimes we may think that things that we're dealing with or things that we're praying about, you know, we may think it's too impossible for God to do or too impossible for God to handle. Or maybe we don't feel like we're important enough to God for Him to do what we ask. I don't believe that this morning. Do you, church family? Do you believe that there's nothing too impossible for God to do for you today? Can you say amen to that this morning? There's nothing impossible. I tell you who makes it impossible. You want to know who makes it impossible? I do. We do. We make it impossible sometimes because we don't have faith. We don't believe in the promises of God. Now listen, I got a great story to share with you this morning out of the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And it says here, and I'm going to start in verse 2. It says here in verse 18 of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 2. So it says, Abraham, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. And he bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. And after that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, Do as you have said. So in verse 6 it says, So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal. Kneal it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And in verse 9 it says, They said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? So he said, Here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah, it says in the Word of God, was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. In verse 11, it says, Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed at the age of childbearing. And then verse 12 says, Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I have grown old, I shall have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, No, but you did laugh. Then it says that the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. Well, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to ask you to bow with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray now, Lord, that this word would inspire the hearts of your people here in this church, those that may be watching live via Facebook. And God, I ask you now, as always, to hide me behind the cross and let your word be spoken through me, nothing more than a willing vessel, Lord, that you might be lifted up and glorified. And Lord, I humbly ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, giving you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. There's a lot in these scriptures this morning that I read. I don't know if you, what you caught with your eyes or what the Lord may have said to you when we were reading these together this morning. But number one, the very first thing that I saw here in these scriptures was when Abraham looked up, he saw these men outside the tent. Now, he's sitting in the heat of the day. He's sitting at the entrance to his tent, and Sarah's inside there with him. And when he looked up, he sees these men, and they're coming, I guess, his way. And he looks up, and the Bible says that he didn't just look out there and say, I wonder what they're up to. No, he said, the Bible says that he ran out of his tent and he prayed to his Lord to serve those guys, to refresh those guys, to wash their feet, to make them something to eat. And listen, that's a servant's heart right there. Number one, a servant's heart unto the Lord. We would be quick to know that, and we would be quick to do that today. But a lot of times in our times today, we don't do that because we're leery about what people are up to and why are they coming? Why is that guy coming to my door? You know, do you feel that way? You know, we're living in a time today where servitude is very far in between. Not unless we know one another. But you know, the Bible tells us be very mindful because you don't know that we may be entertaining angels. And I believe that. Do you believe in angels today, church family? I believe in angels today. You don't know if you're entertaining angels or not, but be very mindful to keep that in mind. The Lord's word says keep that in mind. Be very mindful that you could be entertaining angels when you're like Abraham. But he had a servant's heart of humility. He was humble. He's ready. He's ready to go out and serve the Lord. He's ready to go out and do the work of the Lord. And that's exactly what he does here. See, Abraham was a man that taught his family or taught his wife about the Lord. He instructs her about the Lord. He found favor with the Lord. And the one thing that I know about Abraham, and you know too, the one thing that he wanted above all things, I believe, was a son. Amen? He wanted a son more than anything to carry on the bloodline. That's very important. Even in our time today, you want a son to carry on your family name. But they were well advanced in age. But can you imagine this morning? Can you even imagine this morning as he was serving these men? He wasn't expecting a blessing like that. Amen. He wasn't expecting a blessing like that at all. But one of those men said, surely, I will come again, and your wife Sarah shall bear a son. Man, could you imagine? Could you imagine what he must have been thinking? Could you imagine what Isaiah must have felt in his heart? And knowing that, almost like, you know, the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it must be so. I've heard that saying 1,000 times. If it's too good to be true, they're probably right. It's not true. But he might have thought that. He's like, man, is this like real? Is this for real? My wife and me are well advanced in age, but they're telling me that we're going to have a son? Man, I would have been, Jeff, I'd have been doing cartwheels out there, man. Maybe some backflips. I don't know. But you know what? He didn't question. He didn't question the Lord. He didn't question what one of the men said. He took it. But Sarah didn't. Because you know why? Because a lot of times we think it's too impossible for God to do a great thing. You know what God wants to do more than anything? He wants to bless you and I. But we keep those blessings suppressed because sometimes we think that they're too impossible. Sometimes the things that we think are too impossible is exactly what God's going to do because He wants to show up. And listen, God wants to show out in your life. Amen. He wants to show up. He wants to show out. He wants to show you what He can do. With man, there's nothing possible. With God, everything's possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. With God, everything is possible. If you don't hear that this morning, if you don't hear anything else this morning, if you don't hear that, nothing else that's been said after that, with God, everything is possible. Man, there's so many people out in the world that wants love. There's so many people out in the world that wants to be loved. There's so many people out there that wants acceptance. There's so many people out there that want whatever it is. But listen, if you would turn to God, if you would focus your energies on God, listen, I know I'm a man of God. I know I've talked about it this week. I've got the opportunity to talk to people about my God, my Father, that has given me everything that I've got this morning. I owe God everything. Do you owe God anything this morning? I hope you say yes. I hope you say, yes, I do. I owe Him everything. Because God has given you everything this morning that you possibly need. But listen, I want to tell you this morning. Let me tell you this. So Abraham tells Sarah to go in into the tent and quickly get some fine meal and make some cakes, to bake some cakes. And so she does that very thing. And she's in there cooking. But you know, she's got to be pondering the idea, man, we're going to have a son. It's impossible to believe, but we're going to have a son. But let me tell you this. Let me find it here in my notes. I'm going to read this to you. I was going to save this till the end, but I ain't going to do it. I'm going to read it now. Listen. Over in the book of Luke, you don't have to turn there, but over in the book of Luke, let me just tell you this, what it says. In chapter 6 and verses 38 through 40, you may already know what it says, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. I got it right here in my notes. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 through 40, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you." Now, I'll read that one. I'm going to read that first part again. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Wow. Is that not a great blessing? Is that not a good word to you this morning? Listen, I'm going to read. Can I read that to you again in this case you didn't hear it? It says, "Give." In Luke chapter 6, verse 38 through 40, it says, "Give and it will be given to you." What does that mean? Give God all your faith. Don't just give Him some of it. Give it all to Him. Give all you have to God. Don't question God. I don't ever question God. Amen. I never question God. Are you sure? God, are you sure about that? You want me to do what? Are you sure? God, I can't do that. I hear so many Christians say, preacher, I don't know about that. I can't do that. I'm not a good talker. I'm not a good prayer. I'm not a good singer. I'm not a good dancer. I'm not a good nothing. But God says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure. Now listen, let me throw this scenario in the mix, if I can. Let me give you this analogy. You know when Sarah went back in that tent and she started making those cakes and she was in a hurry to make them? Abraham said, "Sarah, go in there, get some fine meal and mix it up." I'm paraphrasing now. "Mix it up, get these cakes going." Now what do you think would have happened if Sarah said, "I'm only going to make a half a cake. There's three up. There are three guys now. There's three men." So she had to make three cakes. What if she was in such a hurry, she only made a half a cake for each one, or only made two? And come out of the tent and told Abraham, said, "Hey, I can only get two. So they're going to have to share." Or what if they'd have brought them out there and they'd have been half done? Give and it'll be given to you. Not a half measure. Not a partial measure. But a full measure. That means give God all you got. Give God the finest that you got. Because guess what? I say this all the time. But I'm going to keep saying it until the day I die. Until the Lord takes my tongue out of my mouth. Which I don't think that'll happen. Hopefully. God done given us His finest. Amen? He's done given us His best. But it says here, pressed down and shaken together, running over in your lap. You want, and you better get ready to follow me. You want God to, you want the blessings of God? Church family on Facebook, you want the blessings of God? Then give God the full measure. Give God such the full measure that He'll run your cup. He won't just fill your cup. He'll run it over and it'll be running out in your lap. He'll give you such a blessings that you won't be able to contain it. How many would like that this morning? How many would like for God just to run your cup over? Even if it gets a little messy in your lap. You ever spilt your drink in your lap? Anybody? You ever spilt food in your lap and it's just running everywhere? That's the way God wants to do it. He wants to give you such blessings that it's going to flow over your cup and it's going to be pressed down so much that you ain't even going to be able to hold your blessings. You ain't even going to be able to contain it. It's going to be running everywhere. And when your blessings start running, guess what? This is the best part about it. Are you ready for it? When your blessings start running over your cup, listen now. God, hallelujah, praise God, when your blessings start running over your cup and it gets all messy for you in your lap, you say, man, I got all the blessings I can handle. And they're going to start running everywhere, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to run over into somebody else's life. You're going to start being able to bless them and making their life full of blessings. How many believe that this morning? That's the way God operates. He wants to operate like that. God blesses you. You bless others with the full measure of faith, with the full measure that's pressed down, shaken together, running over, and then you start to bless other people's lives, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to take their blessings, and they're going to start having so much they can't contain their blessings, and they're going to run over into other people's lives. The next thing you know, you got a whole people that's being blessed by God. And you might not even realize it. You might not even know it at first. But you say, man, what is God doing to me? I mean, listen, God lets me prosper at everything I put my hand to. Anybody else here? You know, anybody? Maybe I'm the only one. I hope not. But listen, that is such a big deal to me. I love the blessings of God. I don't know about you, but man, I love them and I take every one of them. Not that I deserve them. I don't deserve a one of them. But because God says, hey, you accepted my son Jesus Christ, I'm going to fill your cup. Man, I can remember days when my cup was empty. I can remember days when my cup was filled with dirt. I come home the other day and there was a mud pie sitting on the driveway. I said, somebody's been playing in the dirt. Big old pile of mud and that cup, that bowl was just, and I looked inside that bowl and it was full of mud and dirt. That was my life. And God showed me that right there on the driveway. And I didn't even mention it to nobody. I mention it now. That was my life, Facebook. Church family on Facebook. Church family here. That was my life. Man, I looked down in that bowl. That was my life, full of dirt and mud. But God said the day Christ coming in my life, He said, you know what? He took that old bowl, that old dirt, that my cup. He cleaned it out. And man, now it's running over. With pure water, with pure glory, with pure blessings of God. He said, I'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't contain. And I speak it right now to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak it on you this morning. I speak the blessings of God over you this morning, over your families, over your neighbors, even over your enemies this morning. I speak the blessings of God upon them. When God opens the floodgates of heaven, you can't contain them. You can't stop them. You can't control them. All you can do is just take them on. All you can do is accept them in.
and said, "Thank you, Lord. Praise God for all that you're doing." Hallelujah. Man, if that ain't good to you this morning, I don't know what else I can say to you this morning. Man, this is real. This is how real God wants to be with you this morning. Man, I see your faces like, man, this is good. I know you like it. I know you like hearing that. Don't you like being blessed by God? Don't you like being blessed by God this morning? Man, I hope so. The world ain't going to bless you. I can tell you that right now. I know everything there is to know about the world, just about. I've encountered just about every kind of thing in the world there is to know. And I ain't never found the blessings in the world that God has poured out upon me. Amen? And if you have, I want to see you after church. I want to pray with you. Because I think you might be a little confused. Listen, God's good. And He's good all the time. He's good every day. And I have to be reminded of that. All right, I'm going to move on just here real quick. So anyway, this morning, I think a lot of times, let me just say this in closing this morning. I think a lot of times, you know, in Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10, what does that say to us? Psalms 46 and 10. I got a plaque hanging in my kitchen. I see it every day. I read it. I know that scripture by heart. Be still and know that I am Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Too many times, I'm not still. Too many times, I'm moving around, thinking about what I got to get done and what I got to do, what I got to do tomorrow. The Bible that I read every day says, don't take no thought for tomorrow. Don't say, we'll go here or there tomorrow, because you don't know that. Today's the only day we have. Today's the day of salvation. I'm going to keep preaching that too. Because somebody needs to hear it. Well, I think we all need to hear it every day. I think the Lord needs to remind me of that every day, how precious life is and how quickly it ebbs away. Be still and know that I am Lord, and know that with me all things are possible. Wow. Is that not a good word to you this morning, church family? I pray it is. The Lord is good all the time. Now listen, I want to pray with you that are watching on Facebook this morning. Man, I love the Lord. I love you. If I can help you in any way, I want to. I'll pray with you. I'll do whatever you need. But let's pray together this morning as we close this service. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, you open up so many different avenues. Lord, even through this virus thing that's been going on, Lord, we never went live via Facebook ever. But all of a sudden, Lord, I look at the views on this message every Sunday. Lord, 70, 80 people are watching. 70, 80 people are watching or have looked. Or maybe listened to your word. Not my word, but your word. 70 hearts, 80 hearts are being touched through a device called a cell phone. Being recorded on a cell phone. Lord, we don't have no fancy projectors here. We don't have no fancy cameras here. But Lord, you have provided our needs. You have provided us with a way. Lord, I don't even own a tripod. That's a loner. But we're thankful for it. God, I pray each person that's going to view this message today on Facebook, Lord, I pray that they'll be blessed beyond measure. And God, I pray that we will take the full measure that you have given us and apply it to our lives, Heavenly Father. And God, there be one on the sound of my voice today that does not know the Son of you, Jesus Christ. God, it'll be a glorious day, a wonderful day. Lord, when Jesus died on that cross and He looked up into heavens and His final words as He spoke to you, He said, Father, it is finished. Lord, that was the moment that Jesus finished His work here on earth. Finished His ministry here on earth. And that was the moment that you opened the floodgates of heaven for all those
to come after, to follow Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior. And Lord, today that would be a good day of salvation for somebody to start a new life in Christ, to receive all the blessings, all the benefits of You. And most importantly, Lord, Your love. So God, we thank You. And we ask this now in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.